Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord. Welcome once again to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am Brother Mike, your host this evening for tonight's show. We're going to be bringing part 5 of our deliverance seminar tonight. This is going to be part 5 of our deliverance seminar. We would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in and listening to us here on Live Deliverance. You can find us here on www.blogtalk.com/livedeliverance, and also you can go to www.livedeliverance.com, and there you'll be able to actually click on the link for YouTube and be able to watch as well as listen to the broadcast there as well. Also, while you're in the YouTube channel, you can also chat with me, and if you have any questions for Pastor Emmett, I can also relay those to him as well while you're there listening and to the broadcast there. We would like to thank our sponsors for tonight's teaching, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Raleigh, Dr. Livingston, Dr. Claude Humphreys, Dr. Samuel Patterson, and Reverend Philip Melbourne. We would also like to thank the churches who are in attendance as well as we are putting together this deliverance seminar. Thank you for tuning in and making this possible as well for those out there listening worldwide. Now, before we get started, we're going to let Pastor John Durden, he's going to bring forth a couple of shout-outs to his pastoral friends. And then after that, the next voice that you will hear will be that of Pastor Emmett Overton and part 5 of our deliverance seminar. Pastor John, you have the mic.
Good evening, everyone. Good to be able to listen in on this session tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. But first, I'd like to give a couple of shout-outs for some buddies of mine. That's Pastor Tillman, Pastor Johnson, Pastor Montgomery, Pastor Watson, Pastor Jackson, Pastor Pittman, and Pastor Randolph. God bless you. I know you enjoy the session tonight. Be blessed. Over and out.
Amen. All right. We're going to do a quick sound check with Pastor Emmett, and then we're going to get started with tonight's teaching. As always, please get pen, paper, a notepad or something, and get ready to take some notes. He's going to be bringing a lot of scripture tonight, so get ready to take some notes. And then, if you would like to, you can also give commentary and by calling into the broadcast tonight. Brother Emmett, you have the mic.
Okay, sound check, testing 1, 2, sound check. Sound check, testing 1, sound check. We want to thank those who are listening to us here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're also simultaneously streaming at livedeliverance.com 24 hours a day. Also, I didn't tell the sister, Pastor, this is our anniversary, 11 years on air. We are now beginning today to kick off our telethon once a year. We wanted to move it up before Christmas because last time I got right in the middle of Christmas, and that was a telethon that taught me a serious lesson. So I thank God for moving on my heart to bring a little early. The purpose for this telethon is to bring revenue for the internet radio station. Yes, revenue for the internet radio station. And if you are a member, if you don't know anything about being a member, we have membership here. Email me at overtonav1@gmail.com. We have cyber membership. We work with you one-on-one. We do deliverance, generational curses. As the leading of the Holy Spirit move, we definitely depend on the 9 gifts here. The Spirit moves here. We are open to the 9 gifts of the Spirit. We don't bring a doctrine based on my experiences from my mind or human experiences. These things flood the gift of the Holy Spirit for moving freely. And I hope that you will learn something tonight. And I want to thank Brother Michael, and again, Pastor Durden, thank you for those shout-outs. Brother Mike, can you shut Brother Durden off? He's not going to be online until after commentary. Also, Brother Mike, do you have your King James Version?
Yes, sir.
Okay, with that in mind, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. How that God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Come, Holy Spirit, move upon me. Allow the power of God to speak through me. We take authority over any hindering spirits that would try to block this ministry, any demonic demons that would try to put a person to sleep, spirit of slumber, spirit of slavery, spirit of bondage. We come against this in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. You know, a lot of people don't know anything about this ministry. And before I get started, I got something on the stove I got to turn off. Tomato soup. Everything is soup for me. And I noticed that people that I talk to have no clue of the devil. You have churches in the United States have no clue of what's going on. None. We have obesity. That's a spirit that you got so many folks just overweight. All these are spirits. Now, where we're going to go at tonight is deliverance for children, gates through which demons enter. I got a lot of this information from Adam A. Hammond and the Holy Spirit, a mixture of both, through study. Deliverance for children, gates through which demons enter. Most of it I got by the revelation of the Lord, and some clip notes here and there I got. And it's a good book. I advise that you go buy Deliverance for Children and Teens. By Bill Banks. And Powerful Deliverance Series. This is by Bill Banks. Good book. And we do have a bookstore that we support, Impact Christian Books, www.impactchristianbooks.com. They support us, and we definitely support them, and let everybody know where you can get these good books at. And this is some very interesting stuff that I got out of here that's going to be based on some teaching that I also received earlier today. When ministering deliverance to children, one frequently encounters tormenting, troubling, and vexing spirits, just as Jesus did in the case of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter in Matthew 5:22. It is, of course, easier for us to accept the need for deliverance in the case of an alcoholic or drug addict than in the case of innocent children. And children can carry spirits. And the problem is that we have in the body of Christ is there's a lack of spiritual understanding of how these spirits can enter into children. You may say, well, that's unfair. Well, we was born into sin. That is Adam and Eve's fault, and Jesus took care of it. Through him, we have redemption. Many adults who have come to us or come to me, myself, desiring a deliverance, always come to me and tell me that they have a problem, and they don't never recognize that their child have a problem. And children can really have problems. Now, I want to share this here with you. Gates of how demons can enter through children, through adults, is the eyes first. Spirits of pornography, murder, for example, may enter through viewing actual events. And see, if a child sees something, the eyes is the window of the soul. What about if a child, you in the room and your little child stomping to while y'all in there watching some pornography, and that child stumbling and start looking at that stuff? You see, this is why it's a serious need for the ministry of deliverance. I'm going to really do this. It's so basic tonight, mostly talk to you. Yeah, we give a lot of scripture. I'm just going to let the Lord lead you, because God is showing me that I have to get people to make them see that there is a need for this in their own life, somewhere in your life. As the Lord revealed some things to me, I found out about diverticulitis, and it's a spirit called colic. And I'm going to share that with you. These spirits enter into children by the sins of the fathers, and they're passed down. Not all the time, some through shock, some through trauma, and some through specific events in the child's life. Spirits of pornography and murder, for example, may enter through viewing actual events or through seeing movies by looking especially at things we are not to look at, which is sin, opening a place that may be given to the enemy. David looked sinfully upon Bathsheba, and his looking led to lust and evidently to murder and result, among other things, in the loss of his child. Ephesians 4:27 says, do not give place to the devil. So it is very important that if the child is around an environment that is not Christian, I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, this child is going to inherit, those spirits are going to transfer to that child. If the word of God is not in that house, and if the father's drinking alcohol, the mother's, she's shooting up drugs, somebody doing something like that or running some hustle, that thing will go right down to the children. This is why in the African-American communities, in the, what you call the Gestapo, the ghetto, man, I don't like hearing that word. That's a concentration camp. But in the Gestapo and the ghetto in certain areas, these spirits of tribal warfare through childhood enter African-American young men. And because the word of God is not there, the salt of firm is on the ground for the devil to harvest and pick because they have no leader. They don't see the man leading with the word of God. They see the man with another woman or a man with another man justifying all its evil. Now, that child sees all of that. His eyes are looking upon that. You do not tell me that demonic spirits won't enter that child. You see, this stuff is very, very serious, and the church is sleeping on it. Well, go tell somebody about this ministry. Go tell somebody about Live Deliverance. Go tell somebody about Derek Prince, John Eckhart. Let somebody know about somebody that's really doing deliverance and that's teaching it, because it is a need for the United States, for every individual, especially for all of us who call themselves Christians. This is the children's bread. So when that child begins to see all these crazy things that are going on in their life, you wonder how they pick up that spirit. Well, eye contact. Eve looked and saw that the fruit was good. Genesis 3, she saw that it was good. We walk not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7, but we walk by faith. So when the child is in an environment and his eyes is watching things that he ain't supposed to be seeing, everything that child watch and do and see through his parents is going to pick up, and he's going to inherit it by looking at it. Ear gates. Adults may remember being frightened by radio, theater, and recording sounds intended to scare by hearing the cracking doors and deep voices of imagination created images of evil. For some, nightmare results from being exposed to these chilling mystery stirs of sound. By the hearing of the ear, faith can come, but so also can undesirable entities such as fear. Now, fear is false evidence appearing real. That's all it is. It's making something appear that's not there, making you be fearful. A spirit causing can acquire by hearing foul languages and then allowing it to gain the foothold by repeating the same words in the ear over and over. That's how they get in the ear. See, the deaf, dumb spirit blocks the spiritual ear from hearing, but there is a spirit that gets in the ear that blocks all cut off from the Holy Ghost, called stethesis. That's an intelligent stethesis spirit. Most intellectual men and women have stethesis, the spirit of intellectualism. Check this out. Adults may remember being frightened by radio, recording sounds intended to scare, by hearing the cracking door. See, they're hearing that. See, you hear that, and the devil starts telling you, what is that is? Don't go in that room. See, those are demons talking, and people don't even know that those are demons. And they do it every day. You know, it's a fool for people to tell me that they don't believe in demons. I had a lady when I was down in Clayton County doing some records. I was listening to my internet radio, and I use that for promotional images when I'm on the mall or the grocery store. I'll pop internet radio and, oh, you know, and start talking about the Lord and start promoting the radio station. So she told me, she said, there was no such thing as demons. But demons affect the ear. You hear certain things, certain sounds, imagination, and creates images of evil. For some, nightmare results from being exposed to these chilling mystery stories of sound by the hearing of the ear. Faith can come, but so can undesirable entities such as fear. A spirit of cursing can be acquired by hearing foul language and then allowing it to gain a foothold by repeating the same words over and over and over and over. And over. See, the devil got all kinds of tricks. People need to be listening to this instead of some leader conference on Sundays or Leadership Day for the men, or Women's Day while they're up there planting flowers. See, that we don't need that. People need to be getting into the unseen, because the unseen is very real. The unseen is real. I have seen people levitated. I've seen people lift up out the air with their eyes rolling strictly back with nothing supporting them. The devil is real, and he has a foothold in the body of Christ when the husband and the wife and the children don't know nothing about this ministry, and you call yourself a Christian. Now, you're a born-again Christian. It's impossible for a born-again Christian to really stay a consistent Christian if they're not in the ministry of deliverance. It's impossible, because this ministry warts off the evil one. And when you get a spirit out of you, you got to fill yourself back up with something and make a change. But if this is not taught in the church, how are we going to know this? This is why we got crime in our community, demons. All these are demons. Y'all see the killings in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Those are spirit of murder. We don't hear no pastor talking about the spirit of murder, how to bind it. Now it's shifted from Pittsburgh to California, just like this. And I did tell you it wasn't going to change, and I told y'all that it wasn't nothing going to change, and it didn't change. Every prophetic word that we brought forth at Live Deliverance Internet Radio, we did not have to take it down like Shannon Davis. He has to take his down because he'd be wrong. The Lord told this radio ministry that the Democrats are going to take office. All this is spiritual. The Republicans, the Democrats, and all this is spiritual. Now, Touchgate. Parents naturally discourage children. And I want every grown person to listen to me. I don't like nobody bothering children, you damn freak. You got that perverted spirit in you. Don't let no man touch your child, touch your daughter. Open up a relationship. Even with my little daughter, I tell her, I say, look, what's going on at school? Ain't nobody trying to lift you up. I don't pick her up. I don't even hug her. I shake her hand. Not that I want to hug her, but I don't need to. Just keep the devil away, man. You see? And when a person's touched wrong, a child's touched wrong and haven't been educated about sex, comes the spirit of confusion in that child. Lost trust has been established with the predator. Oh, he's working, and he's using charismatic witchcraft on the child, touching the child and giving an excuse of this is okay. That's pervertism. So don't be careful when people touch your child. Adults, please, must learn these certain parts of the bodies of others which should not be touched by children, but only for the parents. Children should warn against allowing others to touch them inappropriately. Sometimes just touching something tangible that belongs to someone else can lead to envy or demonic spirit. You'd be surprised. So don't let nobody touch your child. And the Bible say, lay hands suddenly on no man. Be real careful. I don't like people touching me, really. But be careful with your children. The mouth gate, testing things not to be taste or drinking or eating excesses or ways that demons may enter through the mouth gate. Spirits also can enter as a result of what comes out of the mouth. Uh-oh. When one vocalizes or chooses to give expressions to words of lust, profanity, blasphemy, he can become vulnerable to demonic spirits if he keeps cussing. He keeps saying MF, 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 MF all day, and uh-oh, it's going to come. F-U-C-K, mother, mom, and just keep going with it, it's going to come. The demons, you're opening the door to these spirits. The nose gate. Smelling or inhaling things one ought not to is an act of willful disobedience and can open up a door to addictions. Some of the most heartbreaking addictions that we have encountered have been addicted to sniffing snorting, car engine, cleaning products, medication, and other chemicals. These are additional objects, additions to illegal substances such as cocaine. So the devil can attack people, and there are people being attacked because they're addicted to smelling paint and spray. The devil has all kinds of ways of trapping people, and people don't even think that that's a demon. And that's the sad part. They don't even think that that's a demon. That is a sad part. Okay, Brother Mike, Reverend Loudon says that he wanted to get Brother Mike's opinion on that. Reverend E.D. Loudon, I got an email. Can you bring Brother John Durden in? Reverend Loudon wanted to get a comment on that.
Pastor John?
Yes.
Reverend Loudon wanted to comment on that.
From the teaching I received for the past several years, what he's talking about is the way demons can enter a person. He talked about the touch gate, and then he talked about the types of spirits in your mouth gate and the spray. And, you know, like a person starts sniffing on cocaine. I know personal friends, not real close, but they start smelling that stuff, and before you know it, they hook on it. And not knowing it, that's a demonic. That's an open door for the demonic. You got to watch what you do, what you look at, and you keep looking at lustful films and these kinds of things, for you know that spirit of lust within you, and then you want to look at more pornography magazines, you want to go to pornography movies and everything else. They are very subtle. It don't hit you right off. You might say, hey, man, take a little sniff of this. Take a look, and you don't know that you're being tempted by the devil. The devil is using that friend of yours. All you do is say, hey, man, it won't hurt. Make it feel high, feel good. Before you know it, you're hooked. And when you got a habit and you can't stop, then you know it's demonic. Think about a lot of people who say, man, I'm going to quit smoking cigarette.
That's right.
I used to be on cigarette when I was young. Cigarette. And then I say, I'm going to stop. And I never can stop. I'll burn up a whole pack of cigarettes, throw it down the toilet and everything else. And then to make it short, in the middle of the night, I get up and go to the store because I just got the habit. And I didn't get rid of it until I finally realized what it was. And I repented, as the Lord said, I recognize that that is nothing but a nicotine spirit, Lord. Get this thing out of me. I repent and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And when I got up that next morning, I had no more desire for smoking a cigarette, a nicotine spirit. So it draws you in slowly, but it's the flesh at first. Then before you know it's demonic. You tell it's demonic when you say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to quit now. And you find you can't quit and you can't stop. That's like one guy I knew. He couldn't stop masturbating. And he just can do it 10, 15 times a day until he realized that he allowed a demonic spirit in him. It's called masturbating spirit. And when he repented and recognized what it was, he had no more problem with it.
And that's how spirits enter into people. Spirits are very subtle. They're very, very subtle. And their desire is to come into the human body. Soundcheck testing one. Okay, I got back up on the radio station. Dropped signal on the other side. All right, gates of the mind. Oh, my God, this here is a subtle way that demons entrap people through their mind, intelligence, humanism, false wisdom, earthly wisdom, wisdom that's not from God, carnal thinking, intellectualism, rationalizing, figure thing out, using human experiences rather than the experience of the Holy Ghost. That's dangerous. A lot of pastors get caught into it. Mostly people who have been, working with their mind a lot, it's a struggle. Anything can be a struggle when you've been dependent on it. Even gluttony can be a struggle. So the mind is no different than anything else. It's just another way that the devil attacks, which is where all of your 99% of your attacks come from the mind. Ezekiel 38:10-11, Brother Mike. Ezekiel 38:10-11. Let's go to Ezekiel 38:10-11. Ezekiel 38:10-11.
Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 10 and verse 11. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell in safety, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates.
Now, what did it say about the mind?
The evil thought, thinking evil thought.
Constantly. And that's how the devil do his thing. He constantly come at the mind. And the mind is a most open door that demonic spirits come in with your thoughts, thinking things before God, Not praying. No, just reacting. Now, I've been caught up in it. We need to ask God, all of us tonight need to ask God for some grace. Amen. Because we have thought things out and figured things out, and it has put us into nothing but some trouble. The second gate to consider is ancestor hereditary gates. We are all familiar with the physical kinds of problems and sickness which pass themselves down family lines. What we are less familiar with are spiritual sicknesses that also work their way through family lineage. See, if you don't know anything about deliverance, it'll come kill you. It'll take your whole family out. The mama got diabetes. The grandmama had diabetes. The uncle been in jail for grand larceny. Hit a nephew, the cousin, all of them on that side, grand larceny. Just using an example. The other one on the mama's side, diabetes. It's always one overloading another one. And look at your marriage. And if you don't believe that the ministry of deliverance is real right now, wherever you at, look at your husband and wife and ask who's sick in the family. And look at your mom and daddy and ask who got what? Who got cancer, emphysema, or something, whatever, who got it? And I guarantee you that that person in that bloodline is not going to be the only one who have it. Am I wrong or right, Brother Mike? Talk to me.
That's correct.
Witchcraft manipulation can begin as early as in a baby's crib. What, Pastor? Oh, come on, Pastor. You talking about the demon in the little child. Witchcraft is defined in its simplest form as the control of one individual by another. A young mother came to this brother, to his wife, in a prayer meeting. And she said she wanted prayer for her attitude toward her six-month-old daughter, who was driving her to craziness, she explained. Joyce would not let me out of her sight. If I leave the room, she immediately starts screaming. A revelation came forth that the problem was witchcraft. And Sue asked the young mother, "Is your mother manipulative?" She replied, "Oh boy, is she." Don't that sound like some of y'all? At the close of the meeting, and without the child being present, the group prayed against the spirit of witchcraft in operation and broke its hold upon the lineage. We received word that from that day point, that person has been free and never attacked anymore with this spirit. That the residents became very peaceful. The witchcraft in the family line had skipped a generation, passing over to the mother and latching upon the child, which is not uncommon. Those are time-delayed generational curses. The demon may stop that generation. No, we'll let that go by. Let's hit this one. They're doing this thing, and nobody know nothing about it. Come on, man. We got to come out. We got to come above this and learn this stuff and pass it on to people, because lives can change if we can grip this and use our faith and speak the word of God against these spirits. It's a miracle that I'm alive. It is a miracle that I'm alive. Temper tantrums. When children have these temper tantrums and stubbornness, watch this. Once again, this brother received a revelation. We learned in another situation that stubbornness could be inherited. In particular, we learned that the primary problems of participating in temper tantrum was not anger, as might be suspected, but rather stubbornness. Most likely, extreme stubbornness also exists in a parent or grandparent. And there you go get it. You ever seen your grandmama stubborn like a mule? Well, it passed on to you if the curse wasn't broken. And this is going on every day. All in churches, people going up in church cursed out. Coming back cursed. Back in there cursed. Coming out, in and out. Missing all the provisions of God because this ministry provides food for those who need it. This is the children's bread ministry. So this temper tantrum and the inability to let disappointments go and being miserable and feeling that comes by that opens up the door to stubbornness. Now, this got my attention because the Lord showed me something. And I asked Sister Durden, I got to do a deliverance at 10. I asked Sister Durden, I said, "Sister Durden, get this thing out of me." And I carried myself through some deliverance when I found this. This is shocking. A personal experience with the latest spirit of COIC colon. Is that pronounced? And I pronounced that right. Can anybody pronounce this for me? Brother Mike, you got anybody in that text room?
Yes, sir. I'm forwarding the questions and comments to you right now. Yep.
This word colic. Can anybody pronounce that?
Colic.
Colic is recorded in a powerful deliverance song of deliverance. Colic can be an early manifestation of a spirit. Watch this. As well as a physical condition, if not cast out, can open the door for stomach problems or digestive disorders such as colon diverticulitis. And that's what I had. I said, in the name of Jesus. Didn't even know it. You see, we are under grace. There's another parallel between healing and deliverance that is found in the area of reference to as familiar spirits or curses. Diabetes, for example, seemed to remain in any African-American community. 1 out of 5 African-American family members have diabetes and high blood pressure. Generations of curses can come on races, nations, individual people, and individuals. Sibling rivals can open up a door when brother or sister are being taught to go be jealous one to another. It often comes as a great blow to a child to learn that his parents are going to have another child. This is especially true for a first child or for a child who has been the baby of the family for a prolonged, long time. This unprepared child, when the new baby comes, open up doors. Why don't they need another baby? I'm not good enough. You don't think that go around when them demons be with that child by themselves and they see the mother going around fixing up the new baby crib and spending less time with you and them demons talking to those children. But the man don't have the spiritual covering from Christ because he's rejected the ministry of deliverance. The mother's too busy watching I Dream of Jeannie and home cooking, and the child's being attacked. And can't nobody see what's going on because they can't see in the spirit based on 2 Kings 6:17. So the demon has a door to talk to your child to say, see, she don't love you. Because you don't teach your child the demons can talk to your mind. Maybe they don't love me anymore. Maybe they're not satisfied with me and are going to give me away. That's fear and abandonment right there. Why should this new baby be getting all the attention, which I used to get? There go jealousy. Just like that, those demons can come in. A key to avoiding such problems is to prepare the child in advance by assuring him of his importance to the family with love, that he is still loved and there is no respect of persons with God. Now, if they're not godly and you don't know the Bible, you can't teach this to your child. So ignorance keeps producing ignorance. Somebody got to get ahead of the game in their homes and take their homes back from the devil. You men, if you listen to me on this internet radio station, on YouTube, you have families, start reading the Bible, line yourself up with the Word of God, and learn the ministry of deliverance so you can save your children and yourself and your church and your community and your nation. When this person, knowing his love, it keeps the door of fear away, the door of jealousy, the door of fear and abandonment, the door of rejection, and the door of insecurity as you communicate and love that child. Say, hey, he's going to be part of you, and I love you no different than her, because I used to do that with Jada and Jordan. If I buy her something, I buy him something. I would never open up that door to buy him something, don't buy Queenie 2 something. Sibling rivals is a term used that the devil used to create friction within the family. See, the devil trying to kill family members and don't nobody even see this going on. This demon can be talking to your child. You don't have no clue what it is. You're not spiritually discerned. Problems confronting families dealing with divorce or death. There are certain aspects of sibling rivals and sibling jealousies that are particular to families that have experienced divorce. Aside from common problems spoiling the child in an attempt to correspond for the loss of the family one, that opens up another door. Since the person died, now you want to buy him everything you can get him, hoping that's going to give him peace. And it's not. You're going to buy him a PlayStation and isolate him. Now you got the PlayStation. Now he's in fantasy 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. Now here's the enemy switching with the everybody got a smartphone in the house. Okay, nobody really sat down at the table and do no praying because everybody is bugged out with this little device right here. Where is that thing at? It's in here somewhere. Mine's in there somewhere. And you constantly on this here just going at it. And the devil is taking the time from the father. Of course, he's on the computer. And if he ain't saved, he's probably on pornography or doing something. And everybody in their room sinning or doing something. That doesn't make any sense or constructive communication in a family. And this is how the devil tears the walls down in churches and homes and an individual when you give him a legal right to come in your house without not having God in there. No prayer in there. Don't nobody pray over the food. Just eat it like a damn heathen. That's how people do. Because they don't have no respect toward God. God is not in their thoughts. And when you get to this ministry, God will definitely come into your thoughts. Because God will show you through his son, through the resurrection Jesus, that demons are real. He cast them out throughout the whole Bible. I don't have to say that. I've said that for 10, 11 years. So when this death comes, when the child has been struck and have lost the mother, father, rejection can easily kick in. That must be constantly being considered when one has lost a loved one such as close to a mother or father. It must be spiritual counseling through and some deliverance because that rejection is going to come there. They have lost a loved one, the children of Israel, thank you, Lord, mourned for 30 days. Stepbrothers and stepsisters can present all the same characteristics of rivalry mentioned above, plus the rip of competition. She's your mother. He's my father. That brings division. That's why the Bible says that you'll have problems in the flesh with stepchildren. 1 Corinthians 12, I found it. It's in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. A unique type of rejection often experienced by a child of the original marriage is that which occurs when the newly married parents actually have another child. A child in such a situation is terribly threatened. When the parents with whom he lives with, a mother, remains cold to him, that opens up a door to rejection because he don't know that man. Now here come another man popping in the grief. He don't know who that man is. Now he done lost his father. Of course, he may not know who his father is. Now you bring in a whole mental game to this person, and the demons know it. And this is how the devil attack families. And don't nobody have no discernment what's going on. No discernment of what's going on. No discernment of what's going on. No discernment of what's going on. Because you don't have the tools that is necessary to win this war. It's the word of God, the authority of God, the power of God to cast out demons, to break generational curses, to speak his word. And to clean house, fight for your family, Nehemiah 4:4. Fight for yourself because Satan ain't playing. And families are so separated nowadays with these technical devices that they call themselves high technology and easier and affordable and more comfortable for standard living. It's a disaster. And it's designed to do that. The devil knows what he's doing because that phone's going to be part of the mark of the beast. God bless you. I have to go. I got to get ready to do a deliverance tonight at 11 o'clock. We are kicking off our telethon. We need income. And I am really wanting to pour out my heart to ask every last one of you, if you can, to sow a seed tonight. We don't ask that much. We give our hearts to ministries. We teach people. We don't charge to do no deliverance. And we're on the front line. We are asking for some financial support. We need spiritual prayer. We need some prayer and financial support. Help us with this ministry. We need a lot of income to do some things that I want to do. And I pray that God will move on all of you. We have ministered over 67,000 people. And out of those 67,000, maybe 500 to give. That's sad. We have same givers that helped this ministry. If it wasn't for these same people that we have, it was not a lot, we'd be off the air. We don't want to keep the burden on them. We're looking for people to help us. If this has been a blessing to you, please sow a seed and help us out in this ministry. Go to livedeliverance.com on our telethon. We're going to be playing music all night tonight. I'm going to be back on air with the Word of God tomorrow morning. And we're going to get some John Eckhart later on tonight at 12 midnight. We'll stop the praise and worship and go to our regular programming as our telethon continues tomorrow morning. God bless you. Again, sow a seed at livedeliverance.com. We have a secure PayPal site. We're going to turn everything over to Brother Mike. Are there any questions in the chat room?
Oh, yes, sir. Let me go ahead and get them forwarded over to you.
No, go ahead and read them to me, Mike. Or tell them they can call in if they want to.
Oh, yes, sir. I already posted that. I'll go ahead and read the question. This is from one of the listeners in the call in the chat. Thank you. I'm new to learning about Deliverance Ministries. For the last few weeks, I've been watching a lot of Omega Man Radio on YouTube, and that's how I found Emmett. Many Deliverance Ministries and ministers have written prayers people can use or say. But my understanding is that the Bible says not to pray written or prayers that have been wrote. So my question is this. Am I misunderstanding that scripture? It seems like praying someone else's written prayer would be the same as, say, praying the rosary. My sole goal is nothing more than the truth through scriptures. I mean, no disrespect. I'm trying not to challenge anyone. Pretty much the question they just want to know, are written prayers the same as praying like rosary? Is it some magical formula, or are they?
It's just scripture with the word of God that's they didn't add it on to. That's based on what you're trying to get healed from. If you know you don't feel comfortable with that, just say I plead the blood of Jesus over my healing. I go by the word of God. If it's scripture by the word, if it's scripture out the Bible, there's nothing wrong with that. If you don't feel comfortable in that, then don't do it. But I don't see any harm to it. A lot of deliverance ministers go by these certain papers and forms, and I don't do that. I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me, and I go through word of knowledge. But there is a prayer that I have, people, this biblical prayer, and people normally say it, and they find it that's very powerful. I got it by revelation. I don't think there's anything wrong with it if it's scriptural basis. What about you, Brother Mike?
I agree with you, sir. I agree 100%. There's nothing wrong in a sense. It's just you want to develop that relationship with the Lord, with God yourself. You don't want to just sit there and rely on, you know, what somebody else has written. You want that.
Person.
Yep.
That's
you want
right.
that relationship yourself, not with somebody else's
That's
relationship.
Right.
You can't. You can't build a relationship off of somebody else's faith. So.
That's right. That's right. Any other question, Brother Mike?
Also, there can you give a testimony about your experience with diverticulitis?
Yes.
Can a person get deliverance from that?
Yes, you can, in the name of Jesus. If you have it, you can repeat this after me because I had it. I didn't even know I had it, and the Lord gave me word of knowledge to go to the hospital. It's subtle. And then as I began to find out about it, I did some research on it on my family side. My mother had it, and my brother got it. So I've had to break the curse on that and didn't even know it. Diverticulitis can be a spirit. Yes, I just said it. Let me see. Let me get this information that I had. Here it is, Brother Mike. C-O-L-I-C. That's the name of the spirit that deals with diverticulitis.
Colic. Yeah, a lot of children, a lot of babies get that when they're firstborn.
Yes, you can renounce it in the name of Jesus. Are they trying to renounce it now or what?
Let's see here. Let me go back to it. The person says they have leaky gut and diverticulitis too. Can they be delivered of that?
Yes. Ask them, have they had surgery or do they know that they have it now? Are they taking any medication?
All right, hold on. Because there's a delay from them hearing us in the broadcast.
Hang on, brothers and sisters. We have to answer this question before we go off air.
They said yes.
Okay, are they taking medication?
Hold on. No, no medication.
Okay, do they need to asked them, they need to really pray about this because I did not know that I had it, and I had fluid in my stomach that was poison. So
okay,
tell them Luke was a physician. Use wisdom. Tell them to go to the doctor. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. A lot of people get so spiritual they don't believe that doctors heal. God uses doctors. And if you feel that you have diverticulitis, ma'am, I did not know that I had it, and something busted me when I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and that gave me a serious awakening with my health. And I, believe me, I have learned a lot from this thing. The foods that we eat, we must be very careful with what we eat. Most foods in America are injected, and this brings a substance in your body that blows you up. This is why this obesity, you say, when I see a fat pastor, he has a problem with me. I identify him, he's trying to preach to me, and he's 400 pounds. That man has that's demonic, or it's unnatural, and they need to attack that, trying to represent Christ being blown up like that. That's not God. Consult your doctor, ma'am. If not, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you command this spirit of diverticulitis to leave you. You break the curses off of you in the name of Jesus on your mother's side, on your father's side, based on Galatians 3:13. Christ had redeemed you from the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Christ became a curse that you may inherit all the blessings of Abraham. And Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus against this spirit of diverticulitis and ask it to go away out of her. Go out of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave him alone in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And brother, make sure you don't have any unforgiveness in you, any bitterness in you, so that this prayer can go forth. Also, go to the doctor, brother. Go to the doctor. Use wisdom. I didn't know. There's nothing wrong with going to the doctor. Luke was a physician. We can't get too spiritual and forget that God used medicine too, but not all medicine can help you, Jeremiah 46:11. But use the doctor as a means of your faith also. Use this prayer, and diverticulitis is very dangerous. Don't have it and let it set in your system, brother, because they had a bag on me now, and I got to get it reversed, thank God, on the 28th of December. Ask him, did I have any questions?
Hold on.
Jack Park hasn't been to a doctor in years.
That's the person that's asking the question.
Okay. Well, brother, use wisdom on that. Don't live with that thing. Pray against that thing and go check yourself out and speak the word of God against it, and you will be healed. Is there any other questions before I go? I have a deliverance at 10 o'clock.
No, sir.
God bless everybody. That's it, Brother Mike. Close out. I got to get ready to meet Sister Durden. We see you tomorrow, and we're going to pick up where we left off. Hope that you got blessed by the teaching. Did you enjoy the teaching, Brother Mike?
Yes, sir.
God bless Big Mike. Close everything out. I got to get out of here. Love you.
Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus of Nazareth, Father, we thank you for the teaching that went forth tonight, Father. Let those, Father, who needed deliverance, Father, to know and understand about the ministry of deliverance, let them receive the knowledge and wisdom that they need, Father, for it. Father, I ask that you continue to bless each and every one of us, Father. Have mercy upon us, Father, and continue to uplift those, Father, who are seeking, Father, to build a relationship with you. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.